The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are for informational purposes only and solely those of the podcast participants, contributors, and guests, and do not constitute an endorsement by or necessarily represent the views of The Hartford or its affiliates.
You're listening to the Small Biz Ahead podcast, brought to you by The Hartford.
Gene, I wanted to hear about your new phone.
So I have a story to tell you, and I think we can all learn from this. So smartphone repair is a big business nowadays. People can do it. They can repair the screens and all of that.
I just walked by a kiosk at the mall last night where they charge, I think it's 100 bucks
or 200 bucks or something like that, and then they repair the whole thing. And so it's becoming a thing. So anyway, so Elizabeth, last Friday, I dropped my phone and the screen cracked and the display was flashing. It was unusable. It was bad. And everybody needs their phone. So I don't want to say I'm so special. But I needed the phone.
You are special, Gene. Come on.
Thank you. So there's a phone repair place that was like right near me. And this is a Friday afternoon. And they were closed at this point, but I went online and their website said they were open at 10 a.m. on Saturday. Okay. And they had you can make an appointment online, you know? Oh, so I go right online and they were using Calendly, which is, I don't know if you ever use Calendly. It's fantastic for a small business to make appointments in advance. And,
we'll put that in the show notes.
Yeah. It's excellent. And I go on to Calendly and I reserve for 10 a.m. the next day to go in. I go there at 10 a.m. and, I'm standing outside the guy's shop. And it's 10:15.
No.
And it's 10:20.
And
it's 10:30. Fuming. I was like, fuming. There's no guy showing up. So it was like, 10 is a business. It's 10 a.m. on a Saturday.
I made the report. I left them a mean Google review.
So good question. So the guy, he doesn't show up. I left. There was a Verizon store locally. My phone is up for very soon to be renewed anyway. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to bite the bullet and upgrade. So I went to Verizon and I spent even more money to get it bought. That's a whole other story. Anyway, this guy emails me like a couple hours later and said, hey, Gene, just wanted to make sure that, I saw that you would reserve to come in. We don't open until noon. And I emailed back and I was like, I didn't know this guy. I'm like, you're kidding, right? You have it on your website at 10 a.m. and on your website. And I made an account. He goes, no, I need to get that update. We don't open
Not
until
cool.
then.
Not cool.
And I was like, dude, I'm sorry. I went somewhere else. You know, best of luck to you in the future. And the thought did occur to me, should I just go and just roast him, on Yelp or like a Google review? And I didn't. Now, would you have?
If he'd never contacted me, I definitely would. The fact that he contacted you, but it doesn't sound like
he contacted me for all the wrong reasons. Yeah. By the way, he didn't even apologize. It sounds like he didn't take ownership of it,
which you would be looking for in that situation. So I might. It depends on what mood I was in.
It's a mood. It's a mood thing. I just don't do that kind of stuff. Like, first of all, I got better. It's all negative karma. And I guess the question is, like, when people give bad Yelp reviews, I totally get it. If you've had a bad experience, I think it's, fair enough. Voice your disapproval. In this case, this guy was like out of my mind at this point. I already had a new phone in my hand.
Yeah.
And this guy was history. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to go and take even extra time. Yeah.
I was looking for a new dentist.
Right.
And I love my dentist now, but I was looking for a new one and I found one really close to my office and I looked at the Google reviews because Google has the best reviews because they're not edited at all.
Right.
And everyone said, he runs late.
That stinks, by the way.
For some reason, I was like, well, it's really convenient. I'll go anyway. So I had like an 11:45 appointment. I waited at like 12:30. I said to the person at the front desk, like, I have a meeting at 1:30 at my office. I have to get back to work. My appointment was at 11:45. How is he running now? Oh, it should be a few minutes. So finally at 1:10, I have to get back to my office. So I walked out and I said, I have a meeting at 1:30.
And you had an 11:30 appointment?
11:45.
Oh my God.
So
I would have been furious.
She looks at me. She just looks up from the desk and goes, all right. So I went on Google and I wrote a review. And a couple weeks later, one of my coworkers from another department, not even on my team, came up to me and said, I was going to go to that dentist and I read the Google reviews and yours was the first one. And I decided to not go.
You know, it's funny. I think we all, we're doing a public service by leaving bad reviews on Yelp or Google. I mean, because you're worried, and I look at those reviews, if I'm looking at a new restaurant or I'm looking at like you just said, like a dentist, it really does provide help to you. And yet I can't, I think it's because I'm a business owner myself. Like this guy with the cell phone, you know, screen repair thing, he's running a little business. I mean, okay, the guy stunk, but you know, I'm very conflicted about it because I'm like, I don't want to sit there and like hurt him in his business. That. But then the customers, like, shouldn't I be telling other people like this guy
isn't
very good?
The difference is with this dentist, though, he's a well-established dentist. He has a huge staff.
Right.
It was really the all right that put me over the edge.
That really stinks.
Come on.
Yeah.
So
apologies.
Actually,
they couldn't even care. Couldn't even care.
So I went to a different dentist and the first time I went, sure enough, they made me wait 20 minutes for my appointment. Mm. They apologized profusely. And on the way out, they gave me a $25 gift card to Target.
That makes
sense. They said, we're really sorry that we made you wait. We know your time is valuable.
Oh, my goodness.
And honestly, I had left work early to rush over there.
Sure.
And then I sat and waited for 20 minutes.
That's impressive.
Yeah. So that's why, you know, with the in contrast with the other people who just said, when I said I've been here for an hour and a half, I have a meeting in 15 minutes, I have to go. All right. Like, it's really in how you handle it.
It is.
Like, if someone had said, you know what, we really value your time, we're really sorry, if you want to reschedule, I'll try to get you in as quickly as possible. That would have made all the difference. It's all customer service.
It really is. It really is. Anyway, I feel conflicted about it. And I just have, I don't know. And I don't even, I never leave bad Yelp reviews. I've left good reviews.
Yeah.
I never bad.
I leave good reviews. I've only left, that was the only bad review I've ever left.
Fair enough.
But do you
want to? Was it therapeutic?
It was, especially when my coworker came up to me and said, I was a little embarrassed that I had left a bad review, but then, you know, I looked back on it. I was like, this is well written and polite. It's fine.
I was going to say, if you're a consumer and you're leaving a bad Yelp or a Google review, you really don't want to go back and look at it a week later and cringe because you were angry. It should be constructive. If you're going to do that, that's how I would do it.
Yeah.
Frankly, I guess I was so furious at that guy. It would have been a bad, if I left a review, I would have regretted the review. So it's probably all for
lots
the good thing.
Thumbs down.
I think I wonder if business owners, you know, and if you're listening to the show and you feel like leaving a comment, I'm just curious if you, as a small business owner, do you feel more empathy towards other business owners? Cause I did, like, this guy drove me nuts, but then I'm thinking like, I don't know, maybe the guy had a bad day. How many times have I screwed up with my clients? I'm going to sit there and roast them in public. Like, I get it. I'm also a business owner, and that played into my decision as well.
Yeah, I would. If you want to leave comments on that, I would love to hear that too.
Yeah, do you feel empathy for other business owners? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't as much because I've never owned a small business.
Right.
And you know what? On this, the same topic, kind of, if you go out to a restaurant and eat and there's, you have terrible service, if there's someone in your group that is a former server, they will still make you leave the 20%.
They will. They will. And in fact, it's funny that you say that as well. We were at a restaurant just last week and it was my wife and my two sons. My son this summer is a bartender and a waiter at a restaurant. And we were out to dinner at another place and the service was bad. And I was going to like, oh, it's driving me nuts. Like, what, you know, should I be complaining? We're waiting for our food. And my son said to me, Dad, let me talk to the guy. I'll deal with it because, you know, you're just going to make everybody angry. Let me deal. And he did it because he empathized more. I think it's the same way when people fly, when people say stuff to people that are working in place and they don't have a context of what they're doing, they don't get it. And that's why, as a business owner, I just feel more empathy.
Yeah. So let us know, do you leave reviews on other small businesses, positive or negative?
If you're a business owner yourself.
If you're a business owner, which if you're listening to this, I assume you are. We'll be right back with our question. This podcast is brought to you by The Hartford. When the unexpected strikes, The Hartford strikes back. For over 1 million small business customers. Check out The Hartford Small Business Insurance at thehartford.com. Okay, this is from Alonzo in Hood River, Oregon, and he is a calligrapher / engraver. That's a definite specialty.
Cool.
I wonder if that's full time.
Could be.
I make good money, but I don't really enjoy my work anymore. Should I keep doing it? Maybe I should speak to a therapist instead of a small biz expert. We've kind of answered this question before.
I remember this question, a similar question from somebody else, which leads us to believe, for the amount of people that listen to the show, we have a very interesting representative population of people that don't like what they do.
And a lot of accountants.
Yeah, accountants. Well, he's a calligrapher, so that's a similar, you know, whatever. I have definite opinions on that, Elizabeth, which is I have tons of clients who, I don't want to say they hate their jobs, but they would prefer to be doing something else.
They're not fully jazzed.
Yeah, they're not jazzed by their work. They're selling cardboard containers. They're truckers, you know, they're farm equipment dealers.
I mean, you sell CRM systems.
Yeah, I sell
CRM.
I actually
get super excited.
I actually enjoy that. Like because it's sales and marketing, and it's actually but not like, I don't feel like we're changing the world. I don't feel like we're, you know, curing cancer. I would prefer to be a professional baseball player or a U.S. senator, you know, if you're so these
being a U.S. senator is the best.
Sounds like the greatest job ever.
You just like you basically just ride around in a golf cart around the Capitol.
Yeah. There's only 100 of you in the whole country. Yeah. It's a 6-year job, which is awesome.
Yeah.
You are totally respected anywhere you go. I mean, you go to like dinner and they're like, oh my gosh, it's Senator Larkin. You know, come in here. We're going to give you like this main table.
Ooh, that sounds good.
And let's face it, if you're a U.S. senator for just one term, you can graduate from that and do like, geez, go into the media, be hired by a law firm, write a book, go on a speaking.
Whereas professional baseball players, I mean, there's only so many announcing jobs.
Oh, like, but you get to play baseball for however many years.
But
that's
then
really.
What do you do for it? Well, it's not like you're an NFL player and then you.
Then
like
you have a concussion and you die prematurely.
I
think that's like the greatest job ever. Although it's a tough job because you're under a lot of data driven, you know, so you're under a lot of scrutiny. Yep. Anyway, so Alonzo was asking about his business and whether he likes it or not. So. You know, for starters, I have to say life is, you know, it's not a bowl of cherries, right? If you're good at something and you can do it well and you're making a good amount of money and that's providing a livelihood and an income for you and your family where you can put money away or whatever, I'm a full believer in learning to like, right? Because we can't all be baseball players and U.S. senators. And then hopefully balancing it out with something else. So Alonzo, okay, do your calligraphy stuff for 6 hours, 7 hours a day, and then finish, and then go and play the guitar that night or do what you enjoy doing. You know, you've got 24 hours in a day, or at least, you know, 18 hours where you're awake. So, okay, you spend 6 to 8 hours of them working, and then you've got the rest to do other stuff with your life, particularly if your job is providing you with a good income. Now, I mean, obviously, if you like super hate it and you just you know, you're really miserable,
your hand hurts all the time,
fair enough, you know, then, you know, clearly life is short, you don't want to be doing something you just hate. But I don't know, I always think like, really, I mean, is there not, other than, you know being in the U.S. military in Afghanistan right now where your life is in danger, you think of some people's jobs that are so difficult, is there any way that you can make the best of it and try to enjoy it and look at the good points, scraping the money, you know, and then, you know, enjoy your rest of the day. Try that first. But again, you know, if it's just not working and you're just miserable, then, you know, fair enough. Give it up and do something else.
Be right back with Gene's Word of Rose.
Okay.
Would you like for your next major business purchase to be paid for by credit card rewards points? Learn how you might be able to do that in Small Biz Ahead's new ebook, The Ultimate Guide to Business Credit Cards. In this free ebook, you'll learn how you can rack up rewards points for your next major business purchase or personal vacation, how you can use business credit cards so they won't affect your personal credit, and even how to keep employees from using their work credit cards for personal use. Just head over to smallbizahead.com and click the link in the show notes to get your free ebook today.
And we're back with Gene's Word of Brilliance.
So I have a question for you. This is another thing I plan on writing about in the future. I'm reading a great book right now. I'm reading a couple books at the same time, which is unusual. But this one is called The Cubs Way. And it's all about Chicago Cubs.
Is that because you just went to Wrigley?
You know what? I was kind of inspired a little bit by that. I'm a big baseball fan. And this is all about their 2016 season when they won the World Series. And all the backstory leading up to that and all that kind of stuff. A big part of the book is Theo Epstein. Theo Epstein is the president of the Cubs. He was the former president and general manager of the Red Sox. And he won the Red Sox 2 World Series while he was the general manager. And Epstein is like a genius. You know, he's a young guy still. He's a very data driven guy. Here's what I find interesting about Theo Epstein. Okay. And this is, you know,
is this your word of brilliance?
It is. Theo Epstein is my word of brilliance.
You're just going to piss off all Yankees fans.
No. Yeah. Well, all Yankees fans maybe, but let me tell you what my question is to you, Elizabeth. Theo Epstein discriminates. He profiles and he discriminates. And by the way, that's in the book, right? When Theo Epstein is looking for players for his team, he looks at the data. He looks at the resumes. He looks at, you know, how good of players they are. But he says outright that he does not bring players onto his team unless they fit into the team. And to him, it's all about character and the kind of person that that person is. He says before they recruit and scout, you know, potential players, he wants to know their personal lives. He wants to know all about their families. He wants to know where they came from, what challenges they had, their financial situation, you know, all of that, because he believes it's the whole makeup of the person, in addition to their abilities as a baseball player, that will make them succeed or fail within his organization. Which basically means he is allowed to ask and dig into stuff that me as an employer can't, I'm not allowed to do.
Do you think you should be allowed to do
that? Yeah, I do. And that's why it's a controversial issue. It's a equal opportunity employment thing. It's a Department of Labor thing. You know, employers are not allowed to ask certain questions about prospective employees because, you know, about their backgrounds or about their home lives or about their whatever. And it, you know, Theo Epstein is allowed to do that because I think the MLB operates in its own universe. And he's a successful executive and he does that for a reason. It's not because he's gossipy. He does it because he knows there's a lot more to a prospective person than just their resume. You know, it's the character and the background. It's the person himself. Yeah. So he uses that as a tool to find the right people. And unfortunately, I'm not allowed to do that. And most employers are not allowed to do that.
But here's a way you can do that. And a lot of employers do it now is looking at people's social media.
It helps. Well, I will tell you another thing. With all the rules and the regulations of what Theo Epstein does, trust me when I tell you, because I've spoken to lots of my clients, we do it anyway. Mm-hmm. We do discriminate. We do profile. We do look at social media. We do make judgments about people. That's just human nature. Mm-hmm. So, you know, government rules try to, you know, restrict that as much as possible. They want to make it a fair playing field. And I totally get that. But at the same time, for what's best for the employee to fit into an organization, or what's best for the employer, you know, we can take inspiration by what Theo Epstein is allowed to do. There's more to somebody than just their resume. And restricting us from asking and finding out about that person, even if they're personal questions, I think it hurts our ability to hire really great people. And I think it hurts an employee's ability to find the right organization for them. So he's allowed to do it. I'm not. I think that should change. There.
Not a controversial topic.
No, not at all. That's Gene Marks' opinion. The Hartford takes no responsibility for that soliloquy whatsoever.
All right. We'll be back in a couple of days with another controversial episode.
Thanks for joining Elizabeth and Gene for another edition of the Small Biz Ahead podcast. For the latest on small business trends straight from the small business experts, visit the Hartford Small Biz Ahead. We've got articles, how-tos, and videos to help you run your business more efficiently. Check us out at smallbizahead.com.